Welcome to a special edition of AutoLine on the Road. This week, taking you on an exclusive tour where few cameras have gone before, inside General Motors design. Join us as GM's Global Design Chief Ed Wilburn takes us behind the scenes in this historic building where the automotive magic has been made for nearly 50 years. Coming right up on AutoLine this week.
Welcome to this special edition of AutoLine, where we're going to take you deep inside of GM design, something that I don't believe has ever been done before, not going out on a television and internet audience, in any case. And, of course, joining me is the auto extremist himself, Peter DeLorenzo. And, Peter, I got to commend you, man, because you've been wrangling for us to do this show for years now, and here we're finally doing it.
Yeah, it's my favorite all-time place in the whole industry. And Ed Wilburn, welcome.
It's my favorite place as well.
And Ed Wilburn, of course, the Vice President of Global Design for General Motors, and this is his house.
Yes. We're
the guests.
Welcome to my house. It's great to have you here. This is kind of fun.
We're thrilled. You know, Ed, redo the story for me. You went to the Philadelphia Auto Show.
Yeah, this Philly Auto Show.
When you were how old?
8 years old with my parents. We walk into the show, into the Cadillac exhibit. And the Cyclone was on display. And I just said to my parents, when I grow up, I want to be a car designer for that company.
And to see the Cyclone today, it's still stunning, dramatic car.
Yeah, it's a dramatic car, very thin line, great design. And, you know, I made sure that we restored the car in recent years. It's in great shape.
But we're in a very historical place. When it was designed in the 50s, it was unlike anything else in the world, way out front. Could you tell us about how it came about a little bit?
Yeah, it's a great campus. I mean, the GM Tech Center was downtown.
Right.
Not just design, but the whole tech.
Art and color
was there.
Downtown.
But all, you know, engineering was down there. The whole technical center is in that building. So the whole idea was to design this campus for the creation of vehicles, you know, R&D, engineering, design. Saarinen was the architect, and he just did a wonderful job.
Now, which Saarinen was it? You know, was it Eero Saarinen, or am I putting you on the spot here?
That's it. Yeah, you're right. Then, but when you look at the buildings, everything's on a 5-foot grid. The windows of the styling, you know, studios line up with R&D down at the other end. Got this great Pevsner sculpture here in front of our building. It's just a wonderful place. I enjoy it every day. I just love pulling in the gate and seeing it.
Well, when this place opened, it was like, you know, almost rocket age kind of an approach. In fact, then President Eisenhower came to the dedication here. That's how big a deal it was.
It was the very first, like, telecast, you know, satellite broadcast type of thing. Closed circuit television type of deal. Huge thing. Grandstand set up along the lake and concept vehicles driving around. Huge event.
And then this lobby itself is just so cool when you walk in here.
And not just cool, not just a beautiful design, but this place just reeks of history.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, there's so much that's gone on here.
Yeah. You know, and Ed's managed to wrangle my favorite all-time car, the original Stingray that Bill Mitchell gave me a ride in when I was, I think, 12, and it's a fabulous car. I mean, it still is. And one thing you never get used to when you see the original Stingray is how compact it is.
Yeah, the whole scale of it. From a distance, it looks like a 63, but the whole scale is quite a bit different.
And this is one of the first things you did when you, you know, ascended to the leadership of GM Design as you commissioned to have this restored, correct?
Yeah, I mean, right away, we sent it into the shop, and our UAW shops took over it. And they did a great job in restoring the vehicle. The one thing we did not change, we left the leather interior, you know, it's
and
got
the,
all
and
that
the seat belts with WLM, L. Mitchell's initials on the seat belt facings.
Why did you leave the seats original in everything else?
Drivers like Dr. Dick Thompson drove the car, Mitchell drove the car. Elvis drove the car in a movie.
Elvis drove this car?
In Clambake, he drove the car. You know, I drove the car with Martha Stewart. Rode with me. I mean, you know, the history.
Name dropper.
In this big, obviously. Yeah, you couldn't yank those seats out and put new leather in there. You had to keep that patina.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And this guy, Peter, wrote in it as a kid. You can't get rid of that.
That's right. Yeah.
I was telling John, wasn't Peter Brock as a kid, as a young designer?
He was involved in it. It's interesting to talk to him about it because he was a young designer. There were more senior designers involved in it, but he was engaged in it as well. And I guess they ran out of time. Originally, they wanted to do a coupe, more of a somewhat like the split window with a lot of plan view, more of a bow tail shape. They ran out of time, so they just cut the roof off and ended up with this wonderful roadster.
And originally, it was red when it was first, because Mitchell owned it. It was his private car, you know. Yeah. So he painted it red, and that's when Dick Thompson started racing it.
See, I'm lucky enough to have worked for Mitchell for the last 5 years of his career. And, yeah, he'd come in on a Monday morning. If somebody criticized the cover of his car, that car got totally stripped down and rebuilt and repainted in a new color.
Yeah, he was mercurial, as they say.
Well, he was a great inspiration to me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then juxtaposed with this original Stingray is you've got a more modern interpretation.
60 years
right
later.
Yeah, when we did this, the design studio was busy working on other projects. And I saw this cool sketch. I mean, that one of the designers had just done on his own of this car, something very close to it. And I got kind of excited. Next thing you know, we're doing a scale model. It was totally unauthorized. And then we decided to move this down to Studio X. You're not going there today, but down to Studio X, where we continue to develop this design. And we just went ahead and built it just because it was so cool and I thought it would be great, you know, energy and excitement for the whole design organization. So we did it, and then it ended up being in a Transformer movie as well.
Yeah.
So you got a lot out of it.
We got more out of it than you thought you would going in. Yeah.
It's stunning. It's great. And, of course, there is a new Corvette coming very soon.
Which is why
it took you a while to get to that subject.
Yeah. Which is why we're not going to Studio X, because they're busy down there getting ready for the Detroit Auto Show.
But as we develop this concept, as I get up back to this subject, it was a fun project. It was, you know, just great inspiration. And when it was time to paint it, there was great debate over different colors. And I said, just put the same color on that we had on the 59.
So Studio X, that's super high, top secret, right?
Well, you know, we have a lot of security around here, as you know. A lot of security around our production studios. The advanced studios have even more security. Studio X is a place where I like to do some quiet work. And there's not a permanent team there. It's just every now and then there's something we want to work on. We did the original work on the Camaro concept. We did that down there. We did the presidential limousine down there. That's how secret a place it is. Very few people that work in this building even know where it is.
Ed, this is an incredible staircase that you have here. It's such a clean, modern design, even today, even though it's, a half a century old?
Yeah, there's so many wonderful things about the architecture by Saarinen. Very contemporary. It really works. And 40 years I've been here, I still haven't figured out how this massive staircase stays up with these thin rods. I mean, it's cool.
It is, because each one of these marble slabs has got to weigh a lot. And like you say, it's just these thin rods holding the whole thing up.
Yes.
Okay, so where are you taking me into here?
Oh, we're going into the color studio. Thank you.
And thank you, David, for swiping the card to get us through all the security.
The security, yeah. And this is where the studios, where experts in color are developing new colors. They're really following the trends, observing the trends very close. You can see the inspiration on the walls, this kind of inspiration that helps us as we're developing new colors. And as I look at this and you see all the shapes that are here, this is obviously Buick. The colors are Buick, the shapes, the forms are flowing. You know, it's Buick. And so there's been a whole study going on colors for the Buick brand. They need to be warm and inviting, but we need to do them in a very new way.
And then fabrics and whatnot you go through here as well, too?
Yeah, a lot of the fabrics and textures and materials, there's a bit of that over there on that wall, looking at very creative combinations of colors And those are small samples that would represent the door panel. You want to go to the studios?
Yeah, definitely want to go to the studios. Well, here, I'm going to hand it off to Peter, and he's going to take it from this point on.
Thanks, John. Now we're going to Studio X.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. So, how many studios are we talking about generally in these
Well, here
hallways?
we're on the second floor.
Yeah.
And here on the second floor is car studios.
Right.
We do all the trucks and crossover vehicles and SUVs on the first floor, much heavier clay models down on the stable floor there. And exterior studios, for the most part, are on the to the right, and the interior studios over here.
So what can you tell me about this sculpture here?
Yeah, it was done part of an exercise just looking at the form vocabulary for our brands.
That's portholes.
And we had a different one for each brand, and of course... Buicks, you know, great Buicks have real flowing lines,
right.
You know, flowing lines, grace is almost like an artist's brush stroke.
Yeah, yeah.
And the model, we have a similar kind of model for Cadillac, and it's a lot edgier.
Yeah, yeah.
It has a lot more direction to it.
Yeah, I think the last time I was here with you, there's something else here. But
yeah,
this,
yeah, we probably hit the Cadillac.
Yeah, here. The Buick form.
Yeah.
I got to tell you now, that LaCrosse still holds up well. You know, that's a sign of a really outstanding design.
Was,
I mean, 3 years later, it
was,
still looks quite exceptional.
It was a great project. It was the collaboration between our studio right here in Warren and our studio in China.
Right.
And they worked together. It was really cool to see those two teams
and
work together.
Well, I remember when you first showed it to me, you talked about how China really influenced the room in the back seat.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to have great seating in the back seat in China. Here, it's a good thing to have, but in China, it's a requirement in that category.
And I want the viewers to see quality begins with design. And General Motors, you know, even in the dark days of GM, design really kept it together over the decades.
We keep pushing hard, and I think the team now, I mean, it's when I think about the relationship that design has with engineering, there were periods in which design dominated, threw it over the wall to engineering. Got some great cars, but there were some poor quality cars then as well.
But now you're
it swung back into the 70s and 80s where it was so dominated by engineering and design just tried to make it look pretty. That didn't work either.
Yeah.
I think today we have got that right collaboration. Design really creates a vision, and then design and engineering work together.
So, Ed, we're down in the bowels of the GM design.
You're not going to Studio X.
Yeah, I know. But things will get hectic at the end, but we really appreciate you allowing us to do this, and I'll hand you off to John here.
Okay.
Okay, the big red door. What's behind here, Ed?
Oh, this is our virtual reality lab. We're going, this is kind of my home away from home.
Okay, what do you mean, virtual reality lab?
Well, this room allows us to communicate with all the studios around the world.
So the 10 different studios you mentioned.
Yeah, we have 10 studios and strategically
just about every continent except Antarctica, right?
Yeah, and so in here, my day starts usually about 6 a.m. with a design review with Europe or China, wherever, and ends about 6 in the evening with a review in Australia.
And you call it virtual reality because you're actually looking at these designs in 3D.
We use 3D capability, and at times the images are coming up here. But we can have sketch reviews like the sketches you see up here, these Cadillac sketches that Christine did. We have a small team, our visualization team, that creates animations. I mean, it's a small team right here in this building. We can show you a couple of those animations.
Yeah. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. This first one was of the Impala, and before we had a physical property, a running car for the auto show, the team here developed this animation. You can see the inspiration, 65 Impala is just terrific car.
Oh my gosh, so you actually created a 65 Impala in CAD.
Well, we had both. We had a physical property, and then we had to do a little magic as well. The guy's real.
But all this is computer generated.
This is all computer generated.
Unreal.
It's
it looks
not,
so
not
live.
A real car. It's all done right here in this building at the other end of this building. We took a Chevy Cruze out to Belle Isle, and we took some shots of it there. He had some other shots out on the West Coast.
And so it's obvious to see why you would call this the virtual reality room.
Sure.
Looking at this thing, all computer generated, and yet you can get a feel for what this car will
exactly.
be like.
Yeah, and so we use it for complete designs, and we want to share that with the marketing groups.
We do that
with very early concepts to help the leaders of the company understand what it is we're after.
And to me, it's so extraordinary to see all the reflection and light in this thing, being CG.
I love it. Yeah. These are like movie shorts in a way, and communications and marketing use them as part of the auto show reveal, and you'll see it up on the screen at the show. All created here in the studios, and bits and pieces are used over and over again. This is the Mirai concept that we did for the Seoul Korea Auto Show when we introduced the Chevrolet brand there. This was done by our animation team in Korea, at our studio in Korea. I love this animation. This thing is so cool. But you can see how creative.
No question about it. And again, so crisp, so interesting.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering is, do you get into more than just looking at surfaces and the like? Do you get into, any of the nuts and bolts, the engineering aspects of the car?
Oh, absolutely. We can look at all the relationships of all the components to the outer skin. Over at engineering at the VEC, they've got VR where they're really looking purely at all the components. But here we're looking at the components and how they relate to the skin. Interior space, and throughout the vehicle, both front and rear.
So what a job. You get to come in here early in the morning and watch movies from all over the world.
It really works. And the reason that I think it really works is not only the technology, but on a regular basis, I do go visit those studios. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we had these virtual reviews, I can tell in their voices how they really feel about the design, and because I know them, and it's important to know them. I'll be honest, I don't know all the leaders of design and the other car companies around the world, but I feel like I know all of the people in GM design.
All 2,000 of them?
All 2,000.
No, you're right. I mean, I think as great as this technology is for communicating, at some point it still has to be face-to-face.
Oh,
and I don't mean
absolutely.
Through a camera or a screen. I mean human-to-human.
That makes all the difference in the world.
But it's amazing how much this technology has progressed, because I remember in the 90s when you guys were first getting into this, you had to go into what they called the cave.
The cave,
and everything was super controlled, and the resolution wasn't that good, and this is just awesome right
and
now.
And the cars that were a product of that were very rigid, very rigid. They didn't have the emotional quality that this car has and the shape and the form that's in the design.
Yeah. Well, I'm handing this back to Peter, and you take him to whatever the next spot is.
So one thing about, we kind of teased our viewers about the history of this place. It just pours out. And the cool thing here, on the left, we have pictures of...
I mean, look at these guys.
Yeah, the Firebird 3. Is that the 3 coming together?
Yeah, it's Firebird 3.
And they're doing the molds. They're doing the hand.
The casting, the clay model.
Yeah, I mean.
Creating the molds. And then you see further down them creating the fiberglass model. And, the guys in the shop who are working on all, they're working on stuff for 2015, 2016. Yeah. They love seeing this.
Well, yeah,
it's their heritage.
Yeah, I mean, it must... as a designer, if you really care about what you do, this means a lot.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Legends roam these halls, and did the work and cranked it out. It's very cool.
The thing that I feel so good about is that we've got that heritage, but in the studios we have the absolute latest technology doing the absolute, which is aiding us to really work fast and do really contemporary design.
Well, the speed you guys work now is just stunning. When you see these pictures and realize how long it took to bring these models to fruition. Look at this shot here. This is getting at the final.
Yeah. Yeah, now this would have been the fiberglass model and the plugs here for where ended up being the bubble tops that went on the car.
Well, Well, now we're going to really one of my favorite all-time places. It's called the Assembly.
Mechanical Assembly.
And this is basically otherwise known as Bill Mitchell's personal garage back in the day, right?
The thing that was cool about it, when I first started here, like I said, Bill Mitchell was still running the place. And the sign on the door said, you know, enter only with the invitation of Mr. Mitchell. Therefore, I never went into play. I went in there maybe one time when Mitchell was running it. And I was never allowed to go in there. None of the designers would go in there. That was his private sanctuary for all his special cars. And
that's where Ken Eschebeck kind of was.
Yeah, absolutely. Today, we still use it, but we use it for the restoration of historic concepts and the final tuning and, you know, refinement of our most recent concepts as well. So. Yeah. So, since I run the place, we can go on in there.
This is a cool place, and there's some cool cars in here, too.
You know, we have the Converge down there, which, again, outside the auto show lights, it's a pretty wild-looking car.
Yeah, and as you know, we've already announced the car is going into production. I really feel good about how the car is developing. This is the original concept.
And then, of course, this is the fantastic CN, which, you know, car enthusiasts still talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, this room is really used for to maintain and restore the real historic cars.
And you can see the pictures of Mitchell himself and the original Stingray. Mako Shark, those are all taken at Road America, where Mitchell would always show the cars.
Yeah.
Mitchell and probably that's in Bloomfield Hills, driving down the street with his hat on.
And look on the far right-hand side here, these old ones signed Louis Chevrolet. And aren't those Buicks, though?
Yeah, those are Buicks. Louis Chevrolet was a driver for
race driver.
Buick. Yeah, race driver and. Yeah, he won the championship driving the Buick.
And I can recognize it because of the radiator that are really draped across the back end of the hood there.
That car is so cool.
So cool looking.
It is really cool looking.
But right here is the fabulous Mako Shark, which was Bill Mitchell. Bill Mitchell liked to go deep sea fishing, and he caught a shark, and it inspired him. And he this is obviously a Stingray Roadster, but taken to the nth degree. And, you know, it is as is. It's original paint, and of course, the stunning paint job. And Ed can tell the famous story that they kept painting this car, and he wanted it to look like the shark on the wall.
He wanted
office.
That gradation of dark blue to light. Yeah. He wanted it just
and, you know,
to
when
match
you really
the
look
fish.
In the front overhang, not only does that the color gradation, but it's got these gills just like the fish, the whole profile of the front end. And they tried and tried to capture that color. And they repainted the car and repainted them one night. They took that mounted fish and they repainted it to match this car. And then finally he was satisfied.
This is the interior's gorgeous.
Great car,
great
history.
The detailing.
It's the gauges and, you know, look at the clock right there in the center. It's just a wonderful piece.
Succeeding the shark, the Mako Shark, was the Manta Ray, which obviously foretold what was coming in the 68 Corvette. And if you notice, the front end of the Manta Ray continued the development of the chaparral lighting that was used on the Corvair, the Monza Coupe, and the Monza SS, which, ironically enough, ended up being the front end of the chaparral, too. I don't know how that works.
So much history. You must feel almost some of the weight of your predecessors on your shoulders here because so much was done before you.
Well, it's so much, and you know, since I've been following it since I was a little kid, so I feel like I've been working here far more years than what I actually have because it's been a part of me, and it is that special place, and we just build on that history and just continue to push hard on fresh new designs.
And build on the history is a good way to put it, because we've really seen a revival of GM design, especially in the last decade or so. And the people inside the company, not in design, tell me, you have the last word. And, you know, there aren't, like there were in the past, arguments with engineering and manufacturing and purchase. I mean, there still are those arguments, but if you say, no, this is the way it's got to be, it pretty much goes that way, which I think is the right way for design to lead.
And it works. I mean, you know, and I hear a lot, spend a lot of time working in collaboration, but at the end of the day, I need to make that hard decision.
Well, you got to be the man. Yeah.
You know. Well, you know...
you got to get your bust.
And I'll tell you, the toughest is when you've got three different design proposals that are all strong.
Now, you've told me that a number of times in the last few years.
Yeah. You know, the Camaro that's on the street today, I had a competition between two teams, and they both came out with strong designs.
I got a suggestion right here, and I think you know where I'm going with this, Ed. I think you should take Peter for a ride in the Mako Shark.
That's been 50 years.
Come on, let's go.
This is the perfect way to end the show as Peter and Ed drive off into the sunset.
Ready to go?